I am extremely excited and honored to really introduce to you. I know they led us into a time of worship, but Ben and Jody Hughes and their wife, daughter Keely, have already set a tone and atmosphere. The King is here, right? I mean, it's like evidence when I walked in this morning and just even rehearsal, and it's like, you know, you could feel the charge of heaven here. And they pastor down in Australia, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to share a little bit more with you about that. But one of the things that I love about the network that we're connected into, if y'all remember Chuck Marr, who is an associate pastor over at Kingdom Life in San Antonio, and his friend Mark Sanchez came and ministered to with us back in August, and likewise has got a relationship going with the Hughes for a while. And when I got a call from Chuck a couple months ago saying, hey, I have an opportunity, my good friends are coming from Australia, would you want to, and that's about how far he got, I'm like, yes. Okay, you don't just call me up. I will move whatever I got going to make sure that we open up the door. And as we were just praying over them this morning, I shared with them, and it just really became a big part, I think, of what God's doing here. When Latimer and the prophetic team were here, the artists were here back in August when we did our creativity conference, and Latimer had created this painting over here. There was something about the tsunami of God's love. And specifically, when I was in Thailand and Singapore last January, I just really got a strong visual, a vision of a water droplet dropping oil into the ocean, and then seeing, like, from one drop, this wave begin to grow. And then I kept hearing it's a tsunami of God's power moving across the planet itself. And so, again, whenever we were just praying this morning, I got that same picture, Ben. And when I saw you guys up, we were both at the Bethel Leaders Advance at the beginning of November. And the same thing when I saw them immediately, it was like them coming is a physical representation of the word that God prophesied about. Like, there's going to be coming across the ocean what they carry. How many know that when a wave comes, it carries with it what it's passed over and through? And so be ready to receive this morning what has been passing through their church, through their life, as they've hit the states here and are ministering. We're not just getting them, but we're getting the totality of what God has been doing in their life and their ministry, even as they've been ministering here in the states already. They've been up in Graham, Texas, ministering up there. They're bringing that with them. And so be ready to receive, because God's got something special too. So why don't y'all stand up and just give an honor and a welcome to Ben as he comes and brings the word. Jody, Keely, thank you.
G'day.
First through fourth grade and fifth and sixth grade, get out of here.
I love how the kids are kept in for worship. We do that as well at our church. And I always say, release the kids. I always feel like it's release the Kraken. Well, good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be with you guys. We're so honored to be here. And thank you so much, Pastor Jay, you know, for just welcoming us. And you know, we only just met, and we're grateful for the risk to be taken. And we know what it's like as pastors, you know, when visitors come, and sometimes, you know, you want to really know who they are. And so we appreciate that. So whatever happens from now, it's too late. So it is really good to be here. We love Texas. We've been coming to Texas for, I think, about 7 or 8 years now. And we fit into that category of we weren't born here, but we got here as soon as we could. And we love it a lot. So I want to just really quickly tell you just a little bit about us and just share a thought around the presence of God. And then I'm actually going to hand over to Jody, who's just going to share a bit of a word that the Lord gave her for America, literally when we stepped off the plane in San Francisco. And so we're Ben, Jody, and Keely, and we around about, we've been in ministry most of our lives, Jody and myself, since we, I was born again at 15 years old. I'm 40. So next month, it'll actually be 25 years that I've been serving the Lord. And I had one of those conversions. Praise Jesus. Come on. I had one of those conversions where it was a powerful encounter with the Lord. And from day one, I was like, oh, I just want to do this the rest of my life. I want to serve the Lord. I want everybody to experience what I have experienced. You know, I was powerfully born again. And I woke up the next day a different person. Anyone else have that kind of experience? It was a literal born again experience, not figuratively. I was like a new person. And I wanted the whole world to experience the same love, freedom, and power that I had encountered. And but then around, so we've been in different pastoral type ministry and YWAM and missions kind of stuff. And then around about 8 or 9 years ago, we were woken up in the middle of the night. We had a really powerful encounter that changed everything for us. And we were woken up and we had an angel standing on the end of our bed. Did I just lose anybody? Well, just check the Bible. There's an angel on almost every page. Some even in the contents, if you look hard enough. I'm sure there's one in there. But we were woken up in the middle of the night, and an angel of awakening was standing on our bed. And it was around 10 foot tall, was going through the ceiling, and had a very stern look on its face, a serious look, and it was there essentially to commission us to start a ministry. And it was the ministry, it was the angel out of Zechariah chapter 4. This is what God began to speak to us out of, and that's how we know it was the angel of awakening. And it was talking all about pouring out golden oil worldwide. Well, when that encounter happened, it immediately overnight thrust us into a full-time itinerant ministry. And we began to get invitations all around the world overnight. We were traveling full-time, the three of us. And Keely's 18, so she was about 10 years old. She's been singing on stage with me since she was 10. And my voice, you might notice I've been a little bit sick and don't have much voice right now. But since she was 10 years old, she'd be singing full-time with me on stage in every meeting that we did. And so she's always been very much a part of the ministry that the three of us have served the Lord in together. And so we traveled throughout the world and spent a lot of time here in America. And then about 4.5 years ago, the Lord started to speak to us about planting a church and building and planting essentially an apostolic resource center to really train, equip, and multiply what it was that he had us doing. But from that day, I'm going to move this a little because I like to walk around a little bit. I'm just going to move this back here. from that day when we began to go out, our focus was on revival. Our focus was on revival, presence-based ministry. And so as we would go out, God would begin to move, and we would be blown away by the things that he would do and the things that we would see. And as we pursued him more and more, guess what? We experienced him more and more. As we contended and went after miracles more and more, we saw more and more miracles. As we opened ourselves up, you know, for signs and wonders, guess what happened? Signs and wonders started to happen all over the place. And for several years in a row, every single meeting we did would have supernatural rain falling in the meeting. Every meeting, sometimes there would be real literal rain. You'd get wet. Other times it would just feel like it was raining, you know, and everyone in the building would feel it. And we'd be looking around and going, it feels like I'm standing outside in a shower. And even the most skeptical of people, we'd watch them. First of all, they'd be, yeah, whatever. And then they'd come up one by one. I felt it. It's raining. And, you know, we discovered something. It's never the devil when it happens to them. And so God has given us a hunger and a passion for his presence and to see revival, to see hearts on fire for Jesus. That's what we're really talking about when we're talking about revival. We're seeing people revive so that they are ablaze on fire, burning with a passion for Jesus, a passion for his presence. Who knows, revival is a return to normal. It's a return to the normal state of the church, right? And here's the thing, we often talk about having an Acts 2 type church. Well, who knows, you can't have an Acts 2 type church without an Acts 2 type encounter. You don't just kind of pretend, okay, we're going to be an Acts 2 church. Woo! I love to talk about the disciples. You know, we have interns and we have some beautiful interns who do an amazing, amazing job in our church, and they travel with us sometimes as well. But who knows that the disciples had the greatest internship you could ever have? They went 3 years on the road constantly with Jesus. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. They were there when he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? They were there when he fed the 5,000. They saw the lepers cleansed. They saw all of these miracles. They saw all of these things happen. And not only that, they got to come around quietly after the meeting, you know, and in the green room afterwards. And they're sitting there and Jesus would explain the parables and they'd get the real inside story on what he meant and what he was saying. That was a pretty good internship, right? Right? But guess what? When Jesus ascended, he said to them, he said, okay, guys, you've been trained up. You've seen all of the miracles. You've seen all of these things happen. You've experienced them. I've taught you. We've hung out. We've eaten together. We've lived, breathed, slept. We've done everything together. But go into Jerusalem and wait until you are endued with power from on high. So the disciples, even the disciples that had the greatest internship, the greatest discipleship, the greatest training ever, still needed an encounter with the Holy Spirit before they actually went out and did the ministry. And Jesus said to them, he said, guys, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And who knows that God is not just the God of Acts 2. He's the God of Acts 4. Two chapters later, after he had poured out his spirit in chapter 2, he poured out his spirit again in Acts chapter 4. You're familiar with that? So the disciples were told that they were in prison, and then they were told, don't go preaching anymore in the name of Jesus. And they're like, we can't help it. We can't help but tell everybody, right? But if they kept telling everyone they were going to be in prison, so they pray. At the end of Acts chapter 4, they pray and they say, God, stretch out your hand, perform mighty signs and wonders that your servants would be filled with all boldness. And it says that God moved again. He poured out his spirit and again they were filled. Again, they were filled. You want to say, well, where's revival in the Bible? Right there. The same guys who were filled in Acts chapter 2 when the place suddenly began to shake and the fire fell on them and they spilled out of the upper room and 3,000 people get saved. Two chapters later, the same guys, again, God pours out his spirit on them and again they are filled. Who knows, we need an again. The church needs an again. You can't say, well, I was filled back in 1963. I don't need it anymore. We all need it more all the time. Who knows that the presence of God, we were never meant to exist without the presence of God. It's not just, you know, a goosebump or a tickle or a nice feeling in the middle of the service. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God. Sometimes it comes as a bit of a revelation, but did you know that the presence of God is the presence of God? Let me say that again, a little slower. The presence of God is the presence of God. If the presence of God is moving and doing something, then God is moving and doing something. Who are we How could we be so arrogant or prideful to say, well, God, we only want about 70% of what you are doing. We're not so sure about the other 30. We think we can probably do it a little better. People say, well, we don't do falling down around here. You know, well, it's like, well, we don't do falling down either. This is God. You know, just like our bodies, our lungs need air, our bellies need food. You got plenty of that in Texas, plenty of the good stuff. Who knows that we actually physically as well, our being needs the presence of God. We were created to be experiencing regularly, to be living in the presence of God. Without the presence, we're like a fish out of water. It's not our natural state. Our natural state is to be in the manifest presence of God. You know, God is omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere, but he's not everywhere manifest present. And we were created to exist, to live in the manifest presence of God. You know, we sing songs like, you know, there's a God-shaped hole inside of us. You know, we're talking about actually the physical encounter. You know, God was in a box for 4,000 years or 3,000 odd years. He was in a box for 3,000 odd years in the Ark of the Covenant. And Jesus came and he paid a terrible price so that he could get out of the box. And then finally one day, on that day, he was out of the box. And you can just see God standing there in the temple and he grabs that curtain from the top and I'm out. And he longs to be with us. He longs to encounter us. He longs for us to encounter him. And we tell our church all the time, you know, if the glory of God is available to us, if the tangible, manifest presence of God is available to us, why would we pursue anything else? Why would we go after anything else? If we can have the glory of God in our meetings, why would we want to go after anything else? If it's something, if it's available, if it's on the menu, right? Cross everything else off. Our natural state is the presence, the tangible, experiential, manifest presence of God. So God, like the song says, we don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. We thank you. Your word says that when two or three of us get together, that you are here. So God, we just honor you. We welcome your presence as we've sung, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this house, and I just ask for even more right now. I ask for more of your glory, God. More of your presence, come and fill this place. You said whatever we ask. Whatever we ask for, God, you'll give to us. So Lord, we ask for more of your presence right now, a tangible, weighty presence. About 3 weeks ago, we were just keep drinking, just keep receiving. Who knows that it's actually, you can learn how to receive. You can learn how to receive the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? You can refuse the Holy Spirit. You can turn it off, right? So you can turn it off so you are not engaging with God. So if you can turn it off and unengage, disengage, who knows, that means that you can also engage. You can posture your heart. You can posture yourself to actually receive and just be drinking of the presence. God is here. God is moving. So let's just plug in right now and not stop and just keep on drinking. You know, we sing songs like, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. This isn't just a nice song or a picture we put above the fireplace, you know, or on the back of the toilet door. This is like a real thing. God, just like a a deer that's desperate and thirsty and running for the water. God, that's my soul, my entire being longs for your presence like that. And those pictures are there not because he's not here, not because he's not available. It's not like we're teased. These pictures are there in the Bible because he is available. Ha. Huh. About 3 weeks ago, we were at Azusa Street. We've been there before, and we went there to pray for America and pray about the election and just pray for God to do it again, what he did in Azusa. Something like that again. And I don't know if you all know, y'all, I don't know if y'all know, about exactly what he did at Azusa. But you know, the glory of God was poured out so strongly and so powerfully in that place that there was literally a radius of the presence of God around that building. It's like an old stable right there at Azusa Street in downtown LA. There was a radius of the glory of God that went out for a couple of blocks. Right now, people who did not know the Lord, people who were not Christians, would be walking along and they'd come into that radius of the presence of God and they would be drawn. They would be pulled into the building and find themselves crying out to the Lord, encountering his presence. Huh. Who wants a bit of that? Their cars, when they drive past outside, suddenly have to pull over and they're overrun with tears and, what is going on? They come into this place and, I've got no idea what I'm doing here, but I need whatever's going on here. You know, the cloud of his presence would be so manifest in the building that kids would bring mason jars, right, to come and take some of the cloud and take a little bit of Jesus home with them. They'd play hide and seek in and out of the cloud. It was so thick, the presence of God, a literal cloud in the building. They'd be running in and out and hiding. So this year, this is our fifth year as a church. It'll be 5 years in May. Last October, God gave Jody a dream and began to speak to us and told us to have a series of meetings in January and just put on a week of meetings, January 3 to January 10, call it the Summer of Revival, because for us, summer is in January, December. Call it Summer of Revival and just go for it. And so we rented a building because we needed a bigger building than we had. And we didn't even have the money in the bank that first week for the building that we were renting. It was totally by faith from day one. And immediately from night one, God showed up. And we'd begun to really pray in the month leading up, or the 6 weeks or so leading up to it. We were having six prayer meetings a week. We were praying every day on Periscope. I was doing live broadcasts and people would join in and pray with us. And right from day one, God showed up. And by the end of it, God had come in such power, you know, so many people had been, you know, whole families we'd seen night after night come and just be wiped out on the floor. Mum, dad, all the kids be wiped out. Kids, you know, teenage kids come in off the street who didn't know the Lord at all and be just wiped out. What do I mean by wiped out? I mean blown away by the presence of God and be splattered out on the floor. Getting up and going, wow, this is real, and telling all their friends, this is real, and giving their lives to Jesus right on the spot. And by the eighth night, there were people standing up around the back, around the edges, and we knew that we just had to carry on. God was doing something. And so night after night, the numbers were increasing week to week by 50% in those first few weeks, and people were starting to drive and fly from all around Australia. Now, Australia is as big as America, the 48, it's about the same size, right? And so people were coming from 2 days' drive away. And more, you know, and they were just driving in, and we ended up in a place called the Big Pineapple, which is a tourist location. If anyone's ever been to Hawaii, there is a Dole pineapple plantation in Hawaii, and it's a very similar thing in Australia. So it's like a pineapple farm, but they've made a bit of a tourist thing out of it, and there's literally like a 50-foot fiberglass pineapple out the front of it. And so it's called, the whole place is called the Big Pineapple. And so we didn't call it this, but it started to be dubbed the Pineapple Revival. And so soon enough, people would start bringing pineapples from around the country and ask us to pray for them, and they'd take it back to their church. But God was moving night after night after night, and I want to tell you, this year has been so glorious. So glorious, as we've spent hours, just people, you know, nights of just joy just rolling through the place. And people just in absolute ecstasy and joy in the presence of God. And people, other nights where there'd be like that real intense presence, and there'd be like awe, and there'd be screaming. Whoa! Overwhelmed by the presence of God in the room, you know. And so we went like that for 22 weeks. And people just continued just to come and come and come and come. And there wasn't a night where there wasn't 10 to 50% new people every single night, first time. They came from all around Australia, New Zealand, Asia Pacific. People even came from the States. People came from New England. Like, it's been a glorious, glorious year. And we've kept going beyond the 22 weeks. We went to probably about 15 meetings a month. And down from having, you know, 25 odd meetings a month. So this is actually our 212th meeting that we've done this year, that Keely has led worship in this year. She's led worship right through the whole thing. And so God actually spoke to us and started to speak to us about actually taking it out and releasing an impartation of what he had been doing at home. How he'd been pouring out his presence night after night. And, you know, the most common... So people say, well, what really happened in this revival? Everything happened that you can imagine. People got saved. People got healed. We saw all kinds of incredible miracles, from deaf ears opening. You know, a little girl who'd never heard out of one ear, it was opened up right on the spot. Parkinson's disease, tumors going out of people's throats, all of these kind of miracles. But the biggest thing that happened night after night is that people would come and they'd say, I've never experienced the presence of God like this. I've never experienced the presence of God like this before. Are you hungry? You hungry for more? I don't mean for Whataburger. Are you hungry for the presence? So I just want to encourage you. I'm going to get Jody to come up and just share just for a bit. And then when she's done, I think we just want to pray for an impartation and a release of what God has been doing and what he's placed on us and through us. Is that okay? So this is Jody.
Well, good morning. I'm not going to be long, but I'm just, I'm so excited to just share with you some of the things that we've been sensing God saying before we arrived and even after we arrived here in America. And, you know, one thing that we've learned this year, well, as Ben said, it's been a year of experiencing the goodness of God in the land of the living. And who's ready for one of those years? Who's ready for one of those seasons? And, you know, we're here to declare that America is coming into experiencing the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not in the land of our memories, not in the land of a past season, not in the land of a past revival or the past great awakening. In the land of the now new great awakening over America. God is moving in this now season, and he's pouring out his pleasure over his people in this nation. And we're here to tell you that God loves America. God loves America. We love America. God loves America. Why does America need the next great awakening? Because the world needs an awakened America. The world needs a revived America. Your families need a revived America. Amen? And in this next season, God is pouring out hope. We have seen so much hope of the Lord poured out this year. And that's what we want to impart to you this morning, that the hope of the Lord is never ending. The hope of the Lord is not a limited resource. The hope of the Lord does not run out when our ideas of what God can do runs out. The hope of the Lord is a limitless, entity out of heaven. It's a substance out of heaven. And, you know, Isaiah 59:19 says this in the NIV. I love this. And, you know, Pastor Jay, I think this is a word of the Lord for you guys this morning, because Isaiah 59:19 in the NIV says that he would come like a pent-up flood, that the breath of the Lord drives along. If you can imagine a dam wall and the pent-up waters behind it, Isaiah 59:19, for he would come like a pent-up flood, that the breath of the Lord drives along. Imagine that dam wall cracking. The cracks start to appear as the pressure has built up. The prayers of the saints have gone up over this nation. People have been crying out all over the world for the next great awakening in America and on American soil. And the season has shifted and the dam wall cracks, and the force of that tsunami wave of glory that comes over this nation will not be stopped, because the breath of the Lord is driving it along. And when the breath of the Lord drives something along, I want to tell you this morning that there is no political spirit that will stop what God is pouring out when his breath is driving it along. There is no religious spirit who can stand in the way of what the Spirit of the Lord is pouring out when the breath of God is driving it along. Who's eager for the breath of the Lord to come and pour out over this nation? Amen. Who's eager for the breath of the Lord to come and pour out over our families and over our children and over our loved ones and over our regions and our cities and the state of Texas and the nation of America? Because there are hungry, hungry people in this nation who need the breath of the Lord of resurrection life to come and pour back in that which the enemy has stolen. And as we arrived on American soil and we got out of the plane 3.5 weeks ago now, you know, I got to tell you, after a 16-hour flight and a 24-hour journey to get here, I was not feeling particularly spiritual. All I wanted was a shower. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't thinking about what God was saying. I wasn't thinking about what was going on in America. I was thinking about, get me to that hotel because I need to have a shower. And as our feet stepped off the plane and I landed in the, you know, the hallway as you get off a plane, and literally as my foot stepped down, I heard very clearly the Holy Spirit cut in through my thoughts. Don't you love that? When God totally ignores where you're at and goes, I'm going to talk to you regardless of how you're feeling right now. And I heard this Holy Spirit say very, very clearly, I will restore all that the enemy has stolen. I will restore everything that the enemy has stolen. And I heard it so clear in my really ungodly state of God, I just want to shower, that I literally spoke out loud as we landed in America, and I decreed out over this nation, you will receive back everything, America, that the enemy has stolen. You will receive back everything that has been lost, everything that has been broken. This is a season of restoration, Texas. This is a season of the restitution of the Lord. And we know from Proverbs that when the thief has been found out, that it must be repaid sevenfold, seven times. What does seven represent? It means completely. And so what does that mean? You are in a season of the fullness of restoration. You are in a season of God bringing back the old promises, the one that you've even given up hope on, the ones that are decades old, the ones that you've said, I don't even know if I can hope again, God. Those are the promises that God is restoring in this season over this nation. Those are the promises that God is fulfilling completely in your families, in your destiny, in your finances, in the things that you have been crying out for, and the promises that are hanging literally in the atmosphere over this church this morning. Those promises are the promises that the Lord is decreeing. I will restore all that the enemy has stolen, everything that he has broken, everything that he has tried to mess with. The Father is restoring all of that. And as I decreed that out loud in the airport, we carried on walking towards, you know, where you go and get your baggage from, your luggage, and again, we were just wandering off to go and get our luggage and get to that hotel so I could have a shower really quick. And I heard this voice yelling out after us down the hallway. And eventually I realized, I think he's calling out for us. And I turn around and here's one of the air stewards literally chasing us through the airport. And he's holding up, you know, my silver bangle or bracelet. I'm not sure what you would call that here. It wasn't this one. It was actually another one. But my silver bracelet, he's holding it up in the air, chasing after us, literally down the airport, yelling out, "This is yours! This is yours! This is yours!" And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, God's restoring everything that the enemy has stolen, even the things I didn't know were lost. And we know that in the Bible, silver represents redemption. This is a season of redemption. This is a season of God redeeming that which the enemy meant for evil. I want to tell you something this morning, that what the enemy thought that he got away with and what the enemy thought was going to be the ruin of you and the destruction of you and the end of your call, God is redeeming, and it will not be the ruin of you. It is the making of you. You are coming into the best season that you have ever entered into. And I just decree over you right now to let hope rise. Let hope rise. Let hope rise. As I was sitting there in our worship this morning, I heard a verse out of Isaiah 61:2, and I just felt like the Lord said to stand up this morning and decree over you that this is a new season, that this is a new season, and that you know that within your spirits. You've spoken that out even in this church, but I want to decree over you that the Spirit of the Lord this morning says this is a new season. This is not just a let's work ourselves into it. This is going to be a good season. It's not just a hope that it's going to be a good season. This is a new season. God is doing something new. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord this morning say to me that he has sent me to tell all those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He has sent me to tell all those that mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He has sent me to tell all those who mourn that a new season has come upon you in this church and in the state of Texas and in the nation of America. He has sent me to tell all those that mourn that the season of joy and awakening has begun. Ha! And just as in the natural, when the season shifts, you've been coming out of a summer into fall, and I want you to think about this because I want you to let hope rise. I want you to let hope rise. Just as in the natural, when a season shifts, do you wake up every single morning and it feels like fall? Or are there still some days that feel like summer? Do you wake up in the natural when a seasonal shift has happened and there's an immediate change and every day remains the same of the new season? Or is there but a moment where the season is transitioning? I want you to get in your hearts this morning that the season has changed. And if you wake up one morning and it doesn't feel like it, it doesn't mean that the season hasn't changed. Because the season has changed, because the timeline, the scheduling of heaven has shifted something over the nation of America. And you have entered into the season of restoration. You have entered into the season of revival. You have entered into the season of harvest. You have entered into the season of seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have entered into the season of hope renewed and hope restored. You have entered into the season of God literally redeeming and resetting your lives on the God line of what Father is decreeing over your lives. Amen. You have entered into the season of God restoring joy back to his children. You have entered into the season of a fresh new pent-up flood of his glory coming over this nation. Ha! And even as a tsunami wave would come over this nation, ha! Even as a tsunami wave would come over this nation, the Lord says to you, when the natural, when a tsunami wave is coming, it is the shakings that are the warning. It is the shakings that are the warning. It is the shakings that are the warning. And you can feel the shakings of the Lord going on in this nation right now. You can literally feel the shifting under your feet of what God is decreeing over this nation. And so I'm here this morning to decree to you, go up higher, because when in the natural you feel those shakings of the ground, and it's that warning that the tsunami wave is coming in the natural. And I'm not prophesying a natural tsunami wave. I am prophesying a glory tsunami wave that is driven along by the breath of the Lord. reward, ha. And so just as in the natural, the sign is go up higher because the tsunami wave is coming. I'm telling you, in the spiritual this morning, go up higher, go up higher, go up higher, go up higher, go up higher. Don't hold anything back in this season, because the season has shifted and there is a window open right now. There is a window open over this nation to exploit it for everything that you've got. And so run in hard, run in hard, run in hard, run in hard. Don't hold back, run in hard, go up higher, push in deeper, go further than you've ever gone before. Expect more than you've ever seen before. You know, we've seen so many things, but even a financial miracle that I want to release over you is just since we've been in America. One of the ladies that had been in our meetings with us this year and found herself in a terrible financial situation. They were farmers, they had a business as well running off their farm, and they found themselves in incredible debt. And they received a word of the Lord at the start of this year that God would redeem all that the enemy had stolen. Now, she held on to that word for some 6 months now and just kept decreeing. There's a word in that for some people this morning. Hold on to the word that God has given you. And she kept decreeing, God is restoring all that the enemy has stolen. God is restoring all that the enemy has stolen. And we got word a couple of weeks ago when we were here. She sent us a message and she said that, as she went into the bank, something really crazy happened one day. She walked in and the bank literally said to her, we are forgiving every last debt that you owe us right now. And now there's something even greater than that. Are you ready to be, your heart's expanded? The bank said to her, which I don't know about here, but at home this never happens. When they forgive you a debt, they'll still bankrupt you. And the bank decided that they were not going to bankrupt her. So not only did that mean that her debt was forgiven, she was not legally made bankrupt, which meant that all the profits coming in from their business was now not going to have to go to the bank and now not going to have to go to the government. They could keep those profits. And in the day after that debt was forgiven, they got two lucrative contracts coming in, which meant now they could keep the profits from those two lucrative contracts that came in. But do you want to know how much they were forgiven? $2.8 million. I want to tell you, you are in the day of seeing the promises of the Lord that He has spoken over you from decades ago. You are in the season where your own eyes are going to experience and be blown away by the goodness of God. You are in the season where you're going to see the harvest of your loved ones. You are in the season where you are going to see, even as I sat here this morning in worship, I could see people streaming in through these doors, weeping. Some came in laughing. Some came in not looking like how you would expect them to look when they walked in to the presence of the Lord. But a harvest is coming in. A harvest is coming in. You know, and I want to say this last thing to you before we pray. In the last couple of weeks, I've heard God speaking to me from Luke 1, where Zechariah, remember he stood, Zechariah, who's the dad of John the Baptist, as we've come to talk about him. And he stood before the presence of the Lord, and an angel said to him, you found favor, and we're going to answer your prayer. A season had shifted. God sent an angel to come and say to Zechariah, I'm shifting the season. I'm going to answer your prayer. Now, we all know, as the story goes, that Zechariah started to, he doubted what the angel, literally standing in the presence of the Lord, spoke out over him. Why did he doubt it? I don't know. But I would suggest to say there'd been a whole heap of disappointments from the past. I would probably say that it had been a long time coming and he wasn't so sure that God really meant it when he said the season has shifted and I'm about to pour out the very thing that you've been asking me for. But the angel of the Lord spoke over Zechariah and he said, because you've doubted, because you didn't trust, because you didn't believe what I'm saying right now, I'm going to turn down the dial of your voice. And you know what? That was actually the mercy of the Lord. God was birthing a new season and he needed the father of that new season to speak out in alignment with what God was doing, so that what was birthed on the earth was birthed in joy and birthed in hope and birthed in agreement with what heaven was decreeing over the nations in that season. And you know when that, we know that when the baby was born, they argued over what the name was. The angel of the Lord had said, even Elizabeth, the mother, had said, his name is John, and the people were arguing. Do you know why the people were arguing over what it was called? What the new season, what the new baby was called? They were arguing over it because John was not a family name that had been used before. And so no one wanted to use a name that hadn't been used before. No one wanted to welcome in something that had never been seen before. Everyone wanted the old thing again. Choose an old name that's come down through the ages. Choose a name that we're used to. And God had already spoken very clearly, and it's why God dialed down the influence of Zechariah for a while until Zechariah could come into alignment and agreement with what heaven was decreeing, that it is a new season. Zechariah, get in alignment with what I'm saying, because what God is about to pour out, just as he did in the day of birthing of John the Baptist and the birthing of Jesus, was that it was an entirely new, unprecedented season of the Lord, and he needed his people around the birthing of that to be able to come in alignment with what God was saying and to agree with what God was saying and say, yes, we will move and partner with you, Holy Spirit, as you do something new in our midst, amen? And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to us in America this morning, saying to us in Texas this morning, saying to you and your families this morning, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. It will be unprecedented. You will not be able to label it based on what you've seen in the past. You will not be able to confine it based on what you've your own thinking has thought it would look like or feel like or sound like or what people will act like. You will not be able to determine how this is going to look and how this is going to play out, because my breath is going to drive along what is about to be birthed on the earth and what is about to be birthed in the nation of America. And just as he spoke to Zechariah and he said, call him John. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying over you this morning, let me do what I want to do in the way that I want to do it. And you will not be able to label it, but you will be able to say, I have been with the presence of my God. And the people will come, and the people will come, and there will be a contagious move of joy and hope that is going to be broken out and broken forth in this place, amen. And through your families, and through your children, and through those that you have said they will never encounter the Spirit of the Lord because they are too hard. They've said too many things against God. And I hear God saying, you watch and see what I will do. I will start with the hardest ones, and you will be amazed at those that will encounter the presence of the living God. Amen. And so I hear God encouraging you this morning. I will restore all that the enemy has stolen. All that the enemy has stolen. And you know, Zechariah's voice came back when Zechariah spoke over the birthing of something new, and he said, his name is John. When John said what God was doing, his influence rose. Joy rose. There's a word in that for us this morning. As our voices speak out what the presence of the living God is doing around us. It may not be in the fullness yet, but it is a drop. There's enough for your spirit to be going, yes, we're in a new season. There's enough for your spirit. There's enough for you who know the presence of the living Lord to be able to say, I can tell that the rumblings are happening and the tsunami wave of his glory is coming down upon us thick and fast. There's enough for us to be in agreement this morning and let a voice, let a shout, let a praise of the Lord come out of our mouths this morning. There's enough for us in this season to be able to say, I will not be like Zechariah, who would not come into alignment and partner with what God was doing on the earth, that I will come into alignment with you, Holy Spirit, this morning, and I will shout and I will yell and I will agree and I will pray and I will ask, silence every voice around me that is not in agreement with what you're saying, God, because this season is too precious. This season is too precious. This season is too precious to be able to not be able to come into alignment with what God is decreeing right now. And as Zechariah came into alignment with that, God spoke over him. He said, Zechariah, not only are you supposed to birth this child on the earth, you are meant to father this child on the earth. And so I decree over you as a people this morning that what God is releasing in this hour, in this place, and through you, people just like you, imperfect, broken, tired, having walked through hard places, having been faithful when it cost you everything, having held on when you haven't seen, having trusted, having asked, having prayed. Jesus, that God is saying to you this morning that what he's birthing in your midst is not just for you to birth, but it's for you to father. And that as you come into agreement with what God is doing and you get excited about what God is doing, not only will you see the promises of God restored over your life, but you are going to see the promises of God restored over your children and all that come after you. This is for more than just you. Why has there been so much attack? Because your breakthrough becomes their breakthrough. Your breakthrough becomes their breakthrough. I want to just pray this morning. If you're in agreement with that, let's just stand. Then Ben will pray and we'll close out whatever's going on here this morning. But do you feel the stirring of the Lord here this morning? Can you feel excitement rising in your spirits? You know, when a baby is born, it's intended to be a joyful day. This is a joyful day. This is a joyful day. God is birthing something new and exciting in our midst, amen. And so let's just raise our hands to heaven. Be like Zechariah after he said, "This is John," and let out a shout of praise this morning here. Let out a noise out of your own mouths. We thank you, God, that you are moving. We thank you, God, that this is a new season. Jesus, we love you here this morning, Father. We just thank you for what you're birthing. We give you praise, God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are the God of Lazarus, Father, and so we speak forth. Lazarus, come out of the grave. Ha! Every last promise, we decree that you are redeeming promises here this morning, Father. God, we decree that you are shifting collectively this beautiful people, Father, out of a season of mourning into a season of joy, Father, a season of upgraded favor, God, a season of upgraded promise, Father. We just decree to the very soil in this place, Father, that it is a new day, that it is a new season, Father. We come into alignment with what the Spirit of the Lord is decreeing over these people right now this morning, over this precious place right now, Father. And I just decree, let the seasonal shift start now, Father, that you are calling in those promises, Father. I call in the seeds that have been sown in the past seasons, Father. And I just call in right now redemption over finances, where the locust has come in and eaten and broken and been messing with people's destiny words over wealth right now. I just decree a shift and I call back in. I call back in. I call back in. I call back in the promises of financial favor, financial wealth, financial kingdom building, Father. I call it back in right now, Father. Every last seed that has been stolen, I just call it back into a season of fruitfulness right now over finances, Father. I call back in people's loved ones, Father, where the enemy has come in and messed with what God is decreeing over their life. I just call them back into right alignment with their destiny, Father. I just call in our kids right now. We call in our kids who have walked away from the favor of the Lord right now. And I just decree that there is a fresh new season of the pent-up flood coming over our kids and our loved ones right now, Father. Ha! Jesus, I just decree that there is a restoration coming over the promises that you've spoken over us, God, from the past seasons. I hear the Lord saying, even those that are 20 years old, God is redeeming right now. Just think about it, church, the ones where God spoke to you 20 years ago and you haven't seen the fullness of that. God is bringing in a redemptive, restorative process over the things that God said, you will walk in this. And I see God literally adding in the keys and the strategies right now this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see God bringing about healings in people's bodies, especially the long-term illnesses where things have been going on for year upon year upon year upon year. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. And I just decree that golden oil out of heaven, that golden healing oil. Ha, just come pour out the golden healing oil right now, Father, over bodies. Jesus, we call in joy where there has been hardship. We call in hope where there has been hopelessness. I call in the pent-up flood of your tsunami glory, Father, over this place. that what has begun here, and we honor what has begun here, Father, but we say do some more. Do more, God. Do more, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We just want to release an impartation this morning. So if you want an impartation for revival, and we're just going to release whatever is on us, we want to release it on you. And so just come forward and just leave maybe like a foot or two for us to walk along. And we're just going to go along and just lay hands on everybody. Now you guys face towards me. Yeah, I want to walk along the front here. That's what I mean. Okay. Face this way. And I don't know if we have any catches. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go pretty fast. So even just right now, just continue just to pull on His presence. Just pull on the presence of the Lord. And just worship Him. Say, God, I want all that You have for me this morning. I want all that You have, God. Just come and fill me afresh today. Fill me afresh. Yeah, the kids, we're happy to pray for the kids too. Absolutely. Thank You, Lord. Come on, just praise Him and just feel free to go ahead and get healed. Go ahead and have an encounter. You don't have to wait for us this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I just release Your presence, God, in this place, Father. God, we just release that impartation, Father, for the pineapple revival, God. The pineapple wine, God, the wine of Your presence that You've been pouring out all this year at the Big Pineapple. Father, we release it on this church, God. Father, I ask for Your glory to come now, Lord, in an even heavier way, God. That heavy, weighty glory, we're going to start down this end. But just keep worshiping Him. Just keep worshiping Him. Just keep loving on Him. Come on, don't get quiet this morning. Just pray into the Spirit. If you do, just give Him praise. Shout out, Bosikiti Haramasia.